the great Redeemer. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. We're so thankful that you came out to worship with us this morning. Hope that you'll just be in one mind and one accord as we prepare to enter into the Word this morning. Before we do, we would like for all of our grandparents to stand. I believe today is Grandparents' Day. We're very thankful for our grandparents. Amen. These are the greatest spoilers alive. Amen. All right. Amen. We love our grandparents. And we love you this morning. We hope that you come this morning to not only receive a blessing, but to be a blessing. Amen. In fact, how many blessed folks do we have in the house today? We got anybody blessed? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thankful that my feet touched the floor this morning. I was able to get up. Amen. Thankful for the desire that He gave me to come into the house of God to worship. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of St. Luke, chapter number 8. St. Luke, chapter number 8, beginning with verse number 40. When you get there, say, praise the Lord. Beginning in the 40th verse of the 8th chapter of St. Luke. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received Him, for they were all waiting for Him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought Him that He would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him. Everybody say, came behind him. And touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched or ceased. Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee. And sayest thou, who touched me? Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and immediately, and how she was healed immediately. And when the woman saw that she was hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your holy word. For these people who have gathered here today, God, I pray, God, that we won't go away hungry today. Father, I pray that you would bless and anoint this congregation. Father, I ask humbly that you would anoint these lips of clay, God, just a vessel. God, that you might use and you might get honor and glory. Father, I pray that the words will sink deep into our heart and into our spirit, God, to produce growth and edification. God, I pray that we'll be intent and listened, God, to what you have us to hear today. God, I pray for this congregation. I pray for each and every need that is here this morning. God, help us to lay aside every weight, every problem, every issue right now, God, and focus on your word and your will. We'll be careful to give you all praise, all honor, and all the glory, for we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. If you love the Lord, give Him a hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Praise God. I said, praise God. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. I'm thankful to God for all of His blessings. This morning, I know that this is a very familiar passage of Scripture, a story in probably most every Sunday school student could recite. It is a story that has been preached a number of ways, I'm sure. Never ceases to bless me. And when I read about the miracles of Jesus and I read about the wonderful exploits and the things that He was able to do in the short time that He walked this earth. Nevertheless, as I prayed this week and asked for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, God directed me again to this passage of Scripture. I would confess that I may come at it a little different angle than ordinarily, but I pray and seek your prayers this morning that God will lead me and direct me in the direction that he would have me to go. And upon saying that, I would like to maybe bring this message title this morning, Hiding in the Crowd. Hiding in the Crowd. We find that Jesus has just returned from the east side of Galilee, a place where he went to the country of the Gadarenes. How many remembers what happened when the boat docked on that side of the Sea of Galilee, and as they were getting out of the boat, there approached a man who was possessed with devils. How many remembers that story very well? The man's name was Legion because in him was a number of demons, a number of devils. And Jesus went forth and delivered him from all of those devils and all of those demons that were within him. You remember they suffered or asked Jesus to suffer them to go into the herd of swine that was there feeding on the hillside. And the Bible tells us that Jesus suffered the demons to go and entered into that herd of swines. And they ran violently, the Bible says, down the hill and choked themselves in the lake or the Sea of Galilee. It amazed the people, and it also put fear and trembling in the hearts of the people. So they began to be a little uproar there. So Jesus kind of departed and went back to the west side of the Sea of Galilee, where the Bible tells us that waiting on him was a multitude or a group of people that were waiting on him, and they were glad when he returned. Now, in this crowd, I want you to think with me a little bit about this particular crowd. The Bible doesn't go into detail about all of the people that was in the crowd. Many times when Jesus would minister to a crowd, the writer would tell us or give us a little bit of an inclination of who was in the crowd. You remember when Jesus was there and he went out into the valley and he had compassion and he went about to touch and to heal those. And the Bible tells us that there were some that were lame, some that were blind, some that were palsy and afflicted and different ailments about them. And Jesus went about and healed them all. This particular crowd, the Bible doesn't go into detail, or the writer here does, about who exactly was in the crowd. It just mentions several times that there was a crowd of people that thronged Jesus. In other words, that pressed him. And one writer wrote that the crowd was so thick and the crowd was so multiple that it was almost suffocating to somebody who was standing in the middle of this particular crowd. And this is where Jesus was. And we find that as they began to move around him, one of the rulers of the synagogue, a man by the name of Jairus, approached him. And he came boldly. Come on, man. He came right up to Jesus, the Bible says, and he fell down and at Jesus' feet, so I am positive that he was facing the Lord, and he began to petition Jesus to come to his house. The reason being, had a girl, a daughter, around 12 years old, that was dying. She was on her deathbed. And as the Bible tells us, as the crowd of people, the multitude of people that were around Jesus, and I want you to think about this, how that a crowd moves, and how that, you know, they seemingly just kind of go as a bunch. And Jesus is trying to lead them to the house of Jairus. That's where he is going to touch and to heal the daughter of Jairus. And the multitude is pressing him. And probably on it all sides, there's elbows and there's shoulders. And there's people probably trying to get a better look at Jesus. And maybe some wanting to get a little closer to him. And I believe within this crowd, because the writer doesn't go into detail about so many of the people having needs, I maybe think that maybe most of the crowd was just there kind of as a sightseeing tour to see what Jesus was going to do next. There may have been some Pharisees in the crowd. There may have been some Sadducees in the crowd. And you know from the reading of the Bible that those only came to see if they could trip Jesus up or to see if they could get him to confess some falsehood or something so they could have some reason to accuse him. I'm not sure who all was in the crowd. But the Bible does give great detail that it was a multitude of people. A people so close, a people so thick that it was almost a suffocating thing to be in the middle of that particular crowd. I've seen on television where a great catastrophe or a tragedy may take place where there is a large group of people, and seemingly people, when they're fearful and they're running for their life, they have no regard of who's in front of them, and they begin to storm toward the exits, and they begin to, so many people, if you can't keep up with them, you're trodden down, and many people have lost their life because that people were trying to get to the exit door. And I don't believe this was to exact to that point, but I believe that because that several of the writers went into great detail, there was a mass of people here that were surrounding Jesus to give every person who had a need for Jesus an ample reason not to get to Jesus. Can I pause just a moment and tell you that the adversary will give you every possible reason not to get to Jesus? He'll offer every kind of excuse. He'll offer every kind of barrier or problem or issue or tell you why you can't really touch Jesus. Things like, you'll never be able. He doesn't care anything about you. You can't get to them. The order of the service is not called for an altar call, so you can't go now. And there's a number of reasons that Satan uses to let us know, many times let the believer know, that now is not the time that you can touch Jesus. So as Jesus and the crowd, and I believe it's very slowly and methodically making their way to Jairus' house, the Bible kind of changes gear a little bit here and says that there was a woman having an issue of blood for 12 years. Now, all of this came into light, I believe, after the healing of her body. Because I don't believe, according to the way the Bible begins to explain this particular episode, that anybody really knew this lady before she came to Jesus. I'm inclined to believe that after she was healed and made whole, she declared the whole story and told them how that she had suffered this issue or this flow of blood that would not cease for 12 years. And basically, she had spent all of her living, everything that she had, to all the physicians, and they didn't make her well. In fact, the Bible goes on to say that she was in a worse condition than she was when she began to spend all that she had trying to get better. So as Jesus and this crowd, and I'm going very slowly here because I want you to understand the situation that was around Jesus. And I want you to understand how difficult it was for this woman to get through the crowd and to get to Jesus. If, in fact, a perfectly healthy being, a man that did not have an issue of blood, that was maybe in their middle age, if they had a difficult time trying to get to Jesus to touch him, imagine the great difficulty that this poor woman who had lost blood for 12 years could have experienced trying to get through the crowd just to get to Jesus. And the crowd was moving. Come on. It was constantly moving toward Jairus' house. But the Bible said, she came behind him. Now notice Jairus. When he came, he confronted Jesus. He was a man that probably was used to being around crowds. He was a ruler of the synagogue. He probably had several occasions where he had spoke to people in the crowd, or people knew him, or he knew others, and he was quite comfortable coming to Jesus and confronting Jesus face to face and telling him what his need was.
He was comfortable in so much that the crowd didn't deter him. The possibility or the fact that Jesus had just returned from a trip across the sea, that didn't deter him. He had a mission. He was going to Jesus, and he asked Jesus, "If you'll come to my house, I have a daughter that's lying in a deathful situation. If you'll come and heal her." And Jesus was on his way. But here's a woman in a very different situation. For whatever reason, and I tried my best to try to get into the mind of this woman to see what would cause her to come from behind and not really want to be detected and kind of want to just be kind of hid in the crowd and not wanting to stand out, but still yet she had a mission. Still yet she needed to get to Jesus. Maybe she had heard about him anointing the eyes of the blind and opening up the eyes of the blind, and maybe she had heard about the time when he went out into the valley and he began to heal the sick and the lame and all of those, and she knew that if she could just get to Jesus, then she could be made whole of her disease. But for some reason, she could not find it within herself to confront Jesus. If she could just sneak through the crowd and just touch him so that he would not recognize her, so that he would not identify her, then she could be made whole of that issue of blood that she had suffered with. I don't know. I don't know the reason. I don't know what it was. But the Bible tells us she came behind him and touched the border of his garment. Now, how many believes that God honors faith? God will honor faith. Faith to move mountains. Faith to be healed. Faith to be delivered. Faith to be saved. Faith, amen, to receive salvation. God honors that. But I believe this woman, whatever the reason was, and maybe she had convinced herself that she was unworthy. I don't know. Many, many people. I felt the same way. When I came to the altar, I felt so unworthy. I felt that I didn't deserve the salvation. I didn't deserve the blessing of God. I didn't deserve the attention of God. But I read in the Bible that when we humble ourselves, that God will exalt us. Amen. And I don't mean that puts us on a high pinnacle somewhere. I believe that means he reaches down. Glory to God. The Lord didn't have to reach up to get me because I was down. He had to reach way down for me. But when he reached way down for me, thank God he delivered me. Glory to God. Immediately I was made whole. Immediately there was a change in my life. How many can identify with that? The woman came from behind. I see this little lady in my imagination, and she was probably very frail, very anemic, very weak. She realized that this was her last hope, because she had done spent everything else she had. This was it. I believe that something took over her body that made her press on when she didn't have the physical strength to do it. There was something in her mind and in her heart to let her know, this is my last chance. I have got to get to Jesus. I have got to touch the hem of his garment. For whatever reason, I don't know if she thought that she was unworthy to say, Lord, I need you to touch me. But she honored that faith, or he honored that faith, when she made and pressed through the crowd. And she finally, with probably the very last ounce of strength that she had, she reached down and she touched the hem of his garments. Glory to God. Now, the Bible doesn't say that there were thundering and lightning and a great earthquake that happened, but how many know something happened? Glory to God. Can I just tell you, when you persevere, when you let nothing impede your way to Jesus, Whatever obstacle the devil may throw in your way, whatever excuse you may come or fathom in your mind, when you push all of those things away, glory to God, and let me tell you, sometimes we are in a weakened condition because we've wrestled with it. We fought with it. We tried to get victory over it. We tried to lay it aside. But everything that we've done, nothing has given us deliverance. Nothing has given us victory. And finally we realize, if I can just get to Jesus. How many has ever been there? How many has ever realized that nothing else matters unless I can get to Jesus? But something's going to happen when I get to Jesus. Glory to God. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep pressing. It doesn't matter how many's before me. I'm going to make my way to Jesus. Glory to God. I've had to enter into a prayer life. Now, there wasn't a physical crowd around me, but there was a side of spiritual things that I had to fight through. Boy, it'd been so easy to just say, you know what, Lord, it just ain't working. This is just not, it's not going to get it. Just get up and walk away. Come on. We're in a little study in a little book, and one of the chapters was praying till you pray. Swallow that good. Don't just roll that around in your mouth. Swallow that good. Praying till you pray. Praying not because it is a tradition, not because it is a routine, not because it is a duty or an obligation or one of those to-do things that you've checked off a list that, yeah, I prayed today, but praying until you pray. You got to press through some issues. Come on. Come on, you got to press through some barriers. You got to press through some things that Satan has thrown in your way. Let me tell you something. Satan is not pleased by just putting one stumbling block before us. He continues to throw stumbling block after stumbling block in front of us. But praise God, if you want to be rewarded, you move that stumbling block, and you move that barrier, and you jump over that thing, and you say, God, I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I got to press through. I got to make it. In the name of Jesus, I got to get my deliverance. Praying till you pray. Glory to God. When you forget about the words that you're saying, and you just let the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, begin to communicate with the Father. Glory to God. And you begin to receive that direction. And you begin to receive that spiritual strength. Is anybody in the house know what I'm talking about? Come on. You pray until you pray. Until you pray. Until you get what God wants you to have. Hallelujah. Lady, you're crazy. You can't get through that crowd. There's no way. Man, there's too many people before you. Now imagine Satan speaking to you. You're going to die. You're going to die right here before you get Jesus. You don't have enough strength. You don't have enough energy. You know that blood's still flowing. But thank God. Thank God for that little woman that wouldn't quit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I got to get to Jesus. Come on, I got to get to Jesus. Hallelujah. No matter what it takes, no matter how long it takes, no matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how much the battle rages, I got to get to Jesus. Glory to God. And the whole time, she's trying to get to Jesus undetected, without anybody knowing it, without anybody seeing her. I wrestled with this a little bit. I said, God, can you speak to us? Can we put this in a format of analyzing or symbolizing that the little lady is a parallel and a type of a shadow of the church. We're wanting to reach people. We're wanting to touch lives. And we're wanting to see folks saved. And we're wanting to see Jesus heal and touch and anoint people. But is the crowd too big? Is the crowd too difficult? Or yet, are we trying to serve Jesus while hiding in the crowd? Has the church taken a back seat just to get kind of lost in the crowd? Close enough that we can see Jesus. Close enough that He's in our midst. But we really can't feel the touch like we need to feel the touch. Is it time for the church to pray till we pray? Is it time for the church to say, I'm not going to let anything interfere. I'm not going to let anything come between me and my Lord. I got to touch Jesus. The little lady, still hidden in the crowd, still thinking she's going completely and absolutely undetected. Notice, she doesn't ask Jesus like Jairus did. She doesn't say, come to my house like Jairus did. She doesn't even say, identify me as anybody. Brother Jim, she says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. The hem. Now, the crowd is swelling and it's moving around Jesus. And Jesus stops. He says, who touched me? And people are denying it. No, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. And Peter and the disciples said, basically, what do you mean, Jesus? Who touched you? Look, there's a multitude. They're around you. They're thronging you. And you say, who touched me? Jesus said, wait a minute. This is not an ordinary touch. Oh, really? I don't think the church needs to be satisfied with an ordinary touch. I don't think we as Christians need to be satisfied with just an average touch. Amen. Just to kind of little feel better. Amen. When we sing a certain song or when we pray a certain prayer, I want a breakthrough. Glory to God. I want to press through. I want to reach there and touch the hem of his garment. I want to do it by faith. Jesus said, no, you don't understand. Somebody touched me. Felt virtue, healing virtue, flow out of my body. And then the writer here, Luke, and I went back and I looked at Matthew and I looked at Mark, and Luke is the only one really who uses the word hid. Hid. But every one of them alludes to the fact that the lady was trying to be as, you know, as discreet as she possibly could. Because she didn't really want the attention. She just knew that if she could touch the hem of Jesus' garment, she'd be made whole. I believe with all of my heart, she felt like, I'll just get my healing and I'll just sneak out of the crowd. And I'll go back home a different person. Jesus asked a question he already knew the answer to. Who touched me? Because I believe that the Son of God knows everything. That's the reason that when we confess to the Son of God, we might as well come clean. Amen? Don't need to hold back anything now. You ain't talking to the pastor. You're not talking to your Sunday school teacher. Amen. You're talking to the Son of God. You're talking to the Messiah. You're talking to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who knows everything there is to know about your life. And he said, who touched me? Who touched me? I believe he knew Not only did he know who it was, I believe he knew her name. I believe he knew when she left the house that morning. I believe he knew everything there was to know about her. And listen, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, glory to God. I got all kind of directions out of that. Let me share one with you. I don't know how many people's in the city of Billerica. I know at one time it was pretty easy to count. It's grown a lot. Increase that by the number of people that's in Carroll County. Increase that number by the number of people that's in the state of Georgia. Increase that number by the people that's in the southeastern part of the United States. Increase that number by the people that's in the whole United States of America. Increase that people by every human being that's on the face of the earth. That's a crowd. Billions of people. But when this little old southern man, boy, touches the hem of his garment, he filters every human being on the face of this earth. And he knows. He knows the need. He is the deliverer. He's the answer to all of my problems. And to think that he loves me that much, amen, to know my needs upon the countless number of people, and not only mine, but your need as well. He knows everything about you. Glory to God. When you press through all of that interference, when you press through all of those obstacles and you touch the hem of his garment, and the Lord knows exactly that touch that has come and left him and entered into your spirit. And you are hid no longer. You are hid no longer. I remember on several occasions when I was going to school, and I don't know if they still do that now. I'm so out of touch. But a lot of times the teacher would ask questions to the students. And you know, you'd raise your hand if you knew the answer. And I remember sometimes when I didn't know the answer, not only did I not raise my hand, I tried to duck down behind the person in front of me. Because my teacher had a tendency to ask the people who weren't raising their hands. Imagine that. And the answers that I knew, I'd raise my hand like that, she wouldn't ask me then, you know. But you let one of them that I didn't study for, I don't remember reading that, and he kind of ducked down, kind of trying to hide. And oh, it was awful when she said, "Eddie." And I said the same thing that every other student. "Would you please repeat the question?" Hoping that it would get easier. Hoping that somewhere in the darkest corners of my mind, something would jog up the answer, and it didn't work. It didn't work. Those were the times that I tried to hide, amen, from the inevitable. And I remembered coming to the altar. Now, I cannot tell you that the first time I came to the altar of repentance that I prayed through. Wished I could, but I couldn't. I, you know, now you look back on it and you say, "Well, man, I don't know why. You just come to the altar, you lay it all on the altar, you ask the Lord to forgive you. You're broken and contrite spirit, or repentant heart." But it took me a while to get to that, because I came to the altar, and I thought about that. I came to the altar not only in a lost condition, but in a hiding condition. You see, I wanted the Lord to save me, but do it quietly. I wanted him to fill me with the Holy Ghost, but let nobody listen to me. And really, I wanted to get the Holy Ghost without really repenting. I want to be honest with you. I wanted to get the Holy Ghost and go back to my regular lifestyle. It don't work. I said, that don't work. That would have been like the little lady. If I can just get to Jesus and touch the hem of his garment and then go back and die. But she thought, no, if I can touch him, I'm going to be a changed person. Not only am I going to be healed, I'm going to be a changed person. How do you know she's a changed person? Because what I'm just about to tell you. Amen. I'm going to make a statement. You cannot adequately touch Jesus without Jesus touching you. Can't do it. But when you really, sincerely, and honestly touch Jesus, he's going to touch you. Amen. He doesn't have to look at you. He doesn't have to see you. Amen. If you truly get into that frame of mind that I'm going to touch Jesus, I'm going to dedicate my life to him, I'm going to receive of him by faith, you will be a changed person. You'll no longer want to be here in the crowd. You'll no longer just to be one of the crowd. Amen. You're one that is born again. You don't care who knows it. You don't care who sees you. You don't care what kind of act you put on. But as long as you're doing it for Jesus. When she saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. Now, I saw that. I saw that as she came down before Jesus then. She was not hid. She was not inconspicuous anymore. In fact, every eye, the multitude was on her. Amen. Too far to go. You can't turn back now. But I saw me the night I finally fell down in the altar, trembling and fearful. Trembling and fearful not because I was afraid of God. Fearing and trembling because I knew I needed to confess my sins to him. And I knew I couldn't whitewash them. I knew I couldn't make them seem less severe than they really was. Regardless of our past, regardless of what we've done, we need to pour it out on the altar to God. And I came down and I fell before him. And I did not want to be in the crowd hiding any longer. I wanted deliverance. I wanted to be set free, just as this woman did. She came trembling and falling down before him. Now something happened. Something wonderful happened. We talk about the healing of her flow of blood. We talk about how remarkable that was, that immediately after 12 years, the Lord just healed her. But something else transformed this woman. She was not the same person as the one who was wanting to be hidden and inconspicuous in the crowd. She was one who came down before him. Then she declared unto him and before all the people for what cause she had touched him. Somebody say, is that same little old bashful woman? Is that same little old anemic woman? Is that same person that didn't want to be standing out in the crowd? Surely that's a different person. Yes, it is. It may look like her, but she was touched by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. She came out of the crowd. She came out of all of that. No longer was she going to be down and out. She received something that day that caused her to boldly proclaim. Amen. She declared everything before the whole audience, before the whole multitude. Glory to God. God will put something in you. Hallelujah. That you'll want to tell everybody you come in contact with what the Lord has done, how he set me free. Hallelujah. I know it's obstacles. I know it's difficult at times to press through. Amen. But the reward is worth it. Glory to God. I don't know. Maybe God's just speaking to me through this message. Maybe he's just letting me know that that what He has put in my heart, that I don't need to keep it hid. I need to tell everybody. You know, testimony service is not nothing to stand up and talk about bad things, but it's to stand up and proclaim what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. Given the opportunity, you know, and I know what Satan will say. He said, you tell that story all the time. You know what? We don't tell it enough. We don't tell it enough because we don't know who's listening. We don't know what kind of situations or what kind of turmoil or strife is in their life. And let me tell you something about my Lord and Savior. He is no respecter of persons. Amen. What He's done for me, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. He'll change your life. Glory to God. And my life needed to be changed. Hallelujah. Because I was kind of satisfied just hiding in the crowd. Just kind of being a fairly good Christian, you know what I mean? Just kind of doing what is expected, you know. Just kind of serving the Lord, but not really pressing through. Not really getting to where Jesus wants me to be. And let me tell you, folks, I confess, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. I'm still reaching forth. I'm still pressing. Glory to God. Every day I'm pressing. Some days I have to press harder than other days. How many knows what I'm talking about? Sometimes it seems like you're not going to get victory. Sometimes it seems like you're never, 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 never going to get to the hem of His garment. But if you'll just keep pressing, glory to God. And you can't do it while you're hiding in the crowd. Can't do it. You got to come forward. There was a song that back when I was going to youth camp down in Barnesville, Georgia, Reverend T.C. Montgomery, a very elderly statesman of the Word of God, one of the pioneers of the faith in the state of Georgia, sang a song, said, "Don't stand in the shadows. Come out and be counted with the people of God." Can I just give you just a brief history of T.C. Montgomery? For him to sing that song truly meant something. You know, Barbara Mandrell said she was country when country wasn't cool. T.C. Montgomery was a Pentecostal preacher when Pentecostal belief was not cool. In fact, it was stamped as demonic and demeaning and blasphemous. So much so that he ran a revival at a little church in a town, and the community, the people of the town, got him and actually tarred and feathered him for preaching the name of Jesus. Ran him out of town. Boy, I don't know if I could have withstood that. But you know what T.C. Montgomery did? He pressed through the crowd. And he kept preaching. And he kept talking, and he kept singing, and he kept evangelizing. Amen. He didn't let that little bit, amen, detour him. And he went down as one of the greatest pioneers of the Pentecostal faith in the state of Georgia. And for him to stand up there with that silvery hair flowing back and reaching his hands up to Jesus and saying, "Don't stand in the shadows. Come out and be counted with the children of God," truly was a testimony. Because he did come out of the crowd. Amen. Takes boldness. Takes boldness. Amen. But she stood and proudly declared what the Lord had done for her. What a change. What a transformation. God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Would you stand? Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Every saint of God praying. If you have a need this morning, please come. We'll pray with you. If you're uncertain about where you stand in your relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're tired of just kind of being in the crowd, just kind of being unnoticed, and you really want to get closer to the Lord, are you willing to press toward and reach through that multitude, through that obstacle, and touch the hem of His garment? Is there one this morning? While every head is bowed, if you have a request of prayer that you'd like this pastor to pray with, about it. Just lift your hand. I'll be praying this week. God bless those hands. God sees those hands, and I'll be praying and believing with you. May God bless you. We love you from the depths of our heart. Please, 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 don't get caught up in the crowd. Come out.